When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Do a lot of different things to tell you a story, but that's really what the Cedric Maxwell podcast is all about. It's about having fun, about engaging people. And because of that, you know, you guys have given me more blessings than I think I've ever deserved.
Oh, man, that means a lot coming from you, man. Wow. Seriously, appreciate that. Absolutely.
In the podcast industry, 100 episodes, man, is a huge deal.
Hey, this is seriously, man, it's a celebration. Like, this is us just telling the story and everything. This is us celebrating because 100 episodes and all the fun and all the content we put together, it's been a special project all throughout.
We'll do this stuff. Stay tuned for the next 100.
No, just imagine what's coming up next. Exactly. Exactly.
Footballs in there, brother.
The big girls love that. Chicks love the last shot opportunity. Somebody give me a napkin so I can wipe my mouth.
Another episode of the Cedric Maxwell podcast. I am Josue Pavone. He is Cedric Maxwell. The Celtics added one more piece, Max. And I like this one. Jabari Parker signed Friday before the deadline, where you can add players that, of course, could be active in the postseason. Max, first and foremost, what do you think about it? Obviously, Jabari Parker, a wing. He helps that wing position for this Boston Celtics team. Hasn't been the best season for him. Injuries has plagued his career, ups and downs, but he's shown that he's, of course, in his best days, a 20-point scorer and someone that the Celtics could use some of that, right? Someone that can give you some production off that bench.
Yeah, I think he can score the basketball still, and I think that's good. Three-point-wise, maybe not the most deadly three-point shooter. Guarding people, I think he could do a pretty good job there. But – you know, as much as I like this signing, I think Danny could have gone out and maybe did even better with maybe Jared Solinger.
Big Sully, huh?
Big time rebounder, a sense of toughness that the Celtics, I think, could use, because he had that attitude that he didn't have any friends. And I like that about him. So you know, he went back, and I had a chance to do a podcast with him, and we looked at it. Sent me a video of himself, and his dad was, you know, employing, you know, teams to take a look at him, and now he's back in China. But I think that, you know, the Celtics could have done maybe even better, and this is just me, in making Solinger. I think Parker is you don't lose with him. But I would love to have a little bit more attitude from the bench.
Yeah, I mean, just addressing that front court, I think was a big thing. It's a good addition for the Celtics, and of course, someone that's efficient. I think that's a big part of this as well. I mean, of course, he was a 20-point scorer. He's been averaging in his best years the last few 3 or 4 years, and somewhere around the teens. And that's going to be something that's going to look that pops out for the Celtics, right? Efficiency, especially, because they're going to need someone like that off the bench. They're going to need another guy out there. We're still waiting to see Evan Fournier come back. Hopefully that's going to happen soon. And that's another weapon that you add to that second unit. And of course, they're going to look for a little defense on the other side. But to your point, I mean, Jared Solinger, another big, someone that can give some more rebound for you. We're seeing what that means for this team at attrition Thompson. I mean, he's been giving these guys second chance opportunities, and of course, more muscle in the paint. But outside of Jared, is that someone else? Is there someone else that you have in mind, or is there someone that big?
No, that was the only one that you know that I didn't do my studying on it, but I read something about Jabari Parker possibly coming in, and I think it's and then for a while people talked about maybe Isaiah coming back here, and I love Isaiah, but do you think that I'll ask you? Do you think that that magic that he had would be a difference, because it was so magical when he was here? Trying to get him there at that place again, I think would be unfair to him and unfair to everybody around his team.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of pressure with that, you know, and because of this team and the situation that they're in, I didn't love the idea of it. I mean, there's just other guys out there, other parts of this team that I think that they would have been better served to address. Of course, the wing position, I was huge on that. I mentioned weeks ago, Thaddeus Young was a guy. I know he's a veteran. I know he's a little bit up there, but I just really wanted them to address that wing position, and they did that with this signing. So I'm happy with it. Listen, I loved what Isaiah Thomas meant for this team, for this city, a Ooh. Score. Again, this team needs more scoring off that second unit. But when you talk about addressing the wing position, they're going to need some of that defense on the other end as well. So I thought that Isaiah Thomas, I mean, he checks the boxes of someone that can come off the bench and score for you. But you're putting a lot of pressure on him to do that. And there's other guys in that backcourt who are doing that already. I love what Kemba Walker's been doing right now. Yeah. Peyton Pritchard is starting to get away from that rookie wall that he hit not too long ago. I mean, I just don't know if
listen, I think that
Isaiah Thomas needs his touches, right? Yeah. I mean, I don't want to see them rock the boat right now with that backcourt. I like what the backcourt's doing right now.
Yeah, I think that if you brought Isaiah back into the fold now, Danny did one thing that he said, you know, I want him to play. I want to see what he has, just like Rob Williams. I want to see what he has. And if you bring an Isaiah in, you're almost obligated to play him at that same position.
Oh, right.
So I think that Danny wasn't willing to make that particular move when it came to bringing Isaiah around, when he already made changes already with this team to give Pritchard an opportunity to play.
What do you think about his stint with the Pelicans? I mean, I don't know exactly what they're looking for. It's kind of hard to tell when someone gets a 10-day contract. It's really difficult to gauge how the team feels about a player, but he looked pretty solid to me. I mean, for someone to come off the bench and score for you, that's exactly what it looked like he can still do for a team.
Yeah, I think he can. He's going to have to get into the right situation. I mean, this is a guy, and the sad thing about it is, man, what a ride that was. What an amazing ride that was.
Incredible.
To sit down and watch the little fellow be a first-team All-NBA or almost got votes for the MVP. His year was that explosive. I mean, everybody talks about Dame time, but everybody also talked about it was Isaiah time in the
fourth quarter.
And he started And I have never seen, and I've been around Celtic basketball a long time, I've never seen the kind of relationship the fans had with another player. As great as Larry was, as great as, you know, Paul was, the connection that they had with the little fellow, it was surreal to watch. Because everybody felt like, you know, it felt like he was a giant killer. And he was the common man because
he was the ultimate underdog. He was the ultimate underdog. Out
there, you know.
Man, he was picked last in the draft.
David and Goliath, David was with his slingshot, you know, going slay it. And he made the general fan feel like that. And that was really, really cool. I just think it's so tragic to see. Well, I'm not even sure tragic. What word I want to use? To see him
go up
so quick and then to go down at the same speed. Because here's a guy who's on top of the world, who came in here as really not the first pick. He was like, you know, a throw-in, you get him. And he just takes this team to another level. And then he gets hurt and you trade for Kyrie. And it was like totally like, it just totally went downhill. He loses his sister. in an auto accident, and just, you know, everybody's heart, you know, bled for him. Mm-hmm. And to see where he is now, just kind of just hanging on and getting a 10-day contract with teams is just, it's just sad. It's really sad.
Well, you hope it evolves into something. I mean, maybe not this year, but maybe he gets something during the offseason. No, Max?
I mean, this
would be the last chance.
I don't see it. Once you leave the NBA in that way, it's almost impossible to come back and to make that next step. Would I like to see him do it? Would love it. But how he would do it in this new NBA, you know, being away from the game for, you know, essentially, you know, a while.
Well, no G League doesn't help, Max. I mean, that's another thing, you know.
You can't
have that route the way it works.
Well, the fact that there was no G League this year helped him out because, you know, you're just looking for a guy. But to bring him in for a 10-day contract, man, it's just really – it's beneath him. It's beneath him as a player. And I don't know what his financial situation is. I know he still loves the game. I know he still wants to play. But I hate the fact that you're bringing in a guy like that for a 10-day contract. If you're going to bring him in – for, you know, the beginning of the year, let him fight for a position. That's one thing.
Yeah. But
that's like getting a scrub off the, you know, get the scrub.
Yeah, that's so funny. That's so funny you say that, man. One of my really good friends, the reason I went to Atlanta, one of my good friends, Mario, she's getting married. And she didn't know about the Isaiah Thomas news. You know, she's not in Boston anymore. So I'm like, yo, did you hear Isaiah Thomas? He got signed. Oh, really? Yeah, it's with the Pelicans. She was like, the Pelicans? She was like, that's what's up. She was like, 1 year? I'm like, oh, no, it's a 10-day contract. She goes, oh. I'm like, damn, Mario's like that. And she was like, I mean, it's a tryout. And if they don't sign him after that, that's a tough spot to be in. And now here you are, you know, fast forward 2 weeks later, saying the exact same thing. Like, he's in a really tough spot now if he doesn't get picked up. Yeah. Like,
think about you, how many times we've seen guys who are at the end of the bench and get a 10-day contract and going, okay, he ain't going to really be here. And then he starts playing well. You're going, oh, he gets another 10-day. Oh, man.
Mil Palacio, man. Mil Palacio after you hit that shot.
Yeah, he got a second 10-day. You know, makes it for you. Now he's here for the year. You're going, man, congratulations, man, that you made it. And it's where he was as a player, to me, is I don't know, and I still know he loves the game, but everybody at some point has to walk away from the game and be satisfied with what they did.
This episode of the Cedric Maxwell Podcast is brought to you by BetOnline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but NBA and the NHL are in full swing now. BetOnline.ag isn't just about sports. If you don't want to bet on sports, BetOnline has other options such as award shows, TV shows, and reality TV. Now, real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. Head over to BetOnline.ag. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Now, don't forget to use that promo code CLNS50 to receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline.ag. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts.
It's just so many guards, man. It's such a guard-heavy league. Like, that used to be a cliche, but now it's even more so because of how young these guards are coming in, you know, right out of college. And there's not a lot of teams that are missing guards. If anything, they have too many guards. You know, it's just a tough position to fill. It is. And I was excited because the Pelicans, obviously, that's a team that can fight for the playoffs. You know, being in the mix with those guys, Zion, and, you know, his very last game, they got video of him getting shots up when everybody was long gone. People leaving out of the locker room in street clothes, and Isaiah was still getting shots up, man. So it's tough, man. It's tough. I'm crossing my fingers for him, man. This offseason is it.
He's gonna bust his ass, and he'd be a good trooper. But I just don't see him getting another opportunity that would be beneficial to him. Or again, as I said, it just seems. So, I remember my last year in the league, and I played with Houston, and Houston waived me. Well, I was traded to Washington for a salary cap. And Washington didn't want me. And my attorney said, yo, you want to play with Philly? And I was like, no, man. I said, it's, you know, I had a great career with the Celtics. I played well with the Clippers. I had some moments with the Rockets. I think I'm done now. And, you know, could I play some more? Probably could have, but it's just at a certain point you just go, yeah, I think I'm done here.
Yeah, but it's so tough when you peak at a top four MVP candidate.
Yeah.
And it was all downhill. It's like one more or two more, one more hurrah, two seasons. Can I just prove that I came back? I officially came back. Because when he came back, he never really came back. And that's tough because of an injury. You know?
Well, he came back.
If he gets surgery, maybe something different happens if he didn't wait on it. It's just so, you play the what if games,
yeah.
And I bet you Isaiah's driving himself insane, you know, and he just wants to go out there and prove one last time.
Well, I think that, you know, it didn't help when he went to Cleveland, because everybody was so like, okay, Cleveland signed him and he's going to be there with LeBron. This is going to be really good. And he was trying to come back from injury, and then finally you see him come back. And then you hear about him saying some stuff about Kevin Love in the locker room. When you just get there, you're challenging an established champion. When you get there, you're going, dude, that just is not a, yeah. that's not a good look. It's not going.
That's not how you make friends with LeBron. That's not how it goes.
It's not going to travel well around the league with you. And I know he didn't have an attitude. Man, he wanted to win, but that message just did not travel well.
Yeah, that's true. No, that's a good point. All right, moving on. I'm going to throw the cliche question. I felt like 2 months ago we were asking each other this question like every 2 weeks on this show. But here it is, a month removed, because the Celtics team had fallen so far down to 500 to below 500. They're living that life for quite some time, but here they are. Is this it, Max? Is this the turnaround? You know, is this the cliche line? Is this it? Is it all uphill for here for the Boston Celtics?
The games they have to play, the teams that they've beat, could be. They caught the Lakers on the downslide. Obviously, you look at that game.
Yeah, man, you're supposed to come through, Max. What happened?
And they played so well in that game, and then the second unit was just god-awful and almost lost that game to the point they were up by 20-something points with about 5 minutes to go, and the Lakers cut it down to like six.
Yeah, and quickly. That was quick.
Yeah, and you had to go back in and bring Jaylen Brown in. You had to bring Tatum back in. So that just wasn't a good look.
You would have been pissed.
They played a Golden State team that has struggled mightily, but they still have that dude over there that can score. But it seems like this team has a new refined attitude. And that to me is going to be more on the upside than the downside. And
yeah, you know, definitely.
A couple of weeks ago, I had the same conversation. I was on with Michael Felger and Michael Holly, and they were like, would you trade, which I hate those questions, but would you trade right now Jaylen Brown for a whole list of names? But then they said, for Beal down in Washington. I said, no. He's like, you wouldn't? I said, what has Beal done? How far is he going? I said, since he's been in this league. I said, Jaylen Brown almost made it to the finals.
Well, how much better are the Celtics?
Potentially, what he has can be tremendous. What he did to the Lakers the other day, what he's been doing in the last month or so, that dude has been lights out. So, I'm not making that trade. So, I think there's so many good things right now that this team has going. Remember, it was Brad Stevens. Brad Stevens hasn't connected with his players. Tatum is god awful right now. He's not, and all of a sudden, you win five games in a row against some really good teams, a team like Denver who won eight in a row. I think that you send a message right now that this team could, if they're healthy and playing on the same page, they can be very, very dangerous.
Guys, I just want to take a second
and talk about Marigold with their stem cell research has been amazing. I went and did an evaluation, and I ended up getting a shot, and I'm hoping right now I'm going to be back on the court. These guys were brilliant. They communicate well. They give you an education on what it's like, and that is what really, to me, won me over, because not only were they going to give me an operation, a procedure, but they were going to educate me about this procedure. And in learning and being comfortable, that is how you get well, and that's how you become partners. And my big shout out to those guys. They did a fantastic job. Check them out at marigoldmedical.com. That's the place to be.
Yeah, no question. And I think the part of the conversation that drives me crazy when national media or even local talk about this Boston Celtics team and they bring up Kemba. And I'm the guy who says that Kemba's that wild card in the sense that he could really push this team to new heights in the postseason. We have to wait and see. But the narrative that I disagree with is Kemba has to be 25-point Kemba, or this team can't go far if he doesn't do that. Well, wait a minute. Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, there's another notch here, I think. And Jason Tatum has already proven that with the 53-point game. Jaylen Brown's already proven that by shooting damn near 80% or whatever it was, breaking records for his efficiency. Like, that's a huge advantage when you think about guys like, I don't know, James Harden. You know, yeah, James Harden could drop 50 on you. Well, how many shots is he going to take to get there, you know? And I'm just using him as an example. I'm not saying that gives the Celtics a chance to beat the Nets. The Nets are still the favorites in the Eastern Conference. Don't get it twisted. I mean, I'm just looking at it as, well, if these two have another notch to them, that's a significant advantage when you compare it to the rest of the East. And when you couple the fact that Kemba Walker, there's no back-to-backs in the playoffs, one. Two, Kemba Walker has a whole lot to prove because he's Kemba Walker. He just got his first taste of a deep playoff run 1 year ago, and he wants some more of that. And three, Kemba Walker, regardless, he'll get cooking in the fourth quarter. He don't need to drop 30 to get cooking in one fourth quarter, drop 12, 13 points, and put you out. There aren't a whole lot of teams, minus the Brooklyn Nets, minus the Philadelphia 76ers, that have a third option like that.
Yeah, man, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, that was the thing. Trade Kemba. Get rid of Kemba. Get rid of that. Well, I mean, I think you play with the team you have. If Fournier comes back and he's healthy and you get everybody who is healthy at this time, you know, it's a different-looking team. Tristan Thompson's made this a different looking team by just, and that's what I said about the Sullinger effect of just bringing in that mad rebounder, somebody who's going to, you know, tear the glass up, who's going to bang people around. And that's what Tristan Thompson does. And that is not Jabari Parker's forte. That's not what he does. But, you know, I still think that you look at him as, I don't know what, the fourth pick or fifth pick, whatever pick he was in the draft, people are still going to look at like, well, you know what, that was some serious potential that often was hurt.
Right. That follows him. That follows him throughout. I mean, yeah, for sure. I was going to say real quick. Yeah, I'm glad you brought up Sully because, I mean, I would love to see him get back into this league. Obviously, the outside shot can grab a lot of boards for you. I mean, it's not like he has the kind of game that won't blend in with today's NBA. I mean, he's one of those guys that was during that time when guys were doing that leap into creating jump shots and also being effective in defense and grabbing boards for you. He was doing that. He just didn't develop the way the Celtics envisioned, or at least the way people initially envisioned.
Well, I think in his case, and he said that, his dad said that, he says his maturity factor wasn't there. And talked to his dad, and he said, you know, went out too much. He said when KG and Paul were around, he said, you know, he was more disciplined about what he wanted to do. But he said there were a couple of times that Rondo grabbed him and late at night and in these clubs and doing this kind of stuff that, you know, he just didn't.
Yo, I saw him out one night. That's funny you say that. It was after a Celtics game. I had left the game. I was in the game as a spectator. This is years ago, way before I was a reporter. At the game as a spectator, go back to the bar, the spot or whatever. This is probably like 20 minutes later, and Sullinger walks in. I'm like, did you just shower? I'm like, You here already? I was just in there. How are you here almost the same exact time as me? Like, yeah. That's funny. I didn't think, I mean, you think about it, but you're like, it's the lifestyle. You don't know exactly the extent of it, you know?
Well,
but yeah.
When you are a guy who is just developing, and I've said this 1,000 times to people, you know, in this league, when you are developing, you need to establish yourself. And now you become a commodity in this league. So if you were a great rebounder, you're a great rebounder. Everybody knows it. You're a great scorer. People know it. Well, people didn't get a chance really to see, just saw snapshots of who he was as a scorer and a rebounder, and he never made himself a commodity. And because of that, that's why he's in China and not playing in the NBA, because he is as good as a lot of guys who are in the eighth guy, the ninth guy in this league. I would rather have Sullinger on my team than some of the guys I've seen coming off the bench being the ninth guy and the tenth guy. For what he can do for you.
I like that, man. It's a strong endorsement. There you go. Hopefully we'll see him back in this league at some point, man, for sure. Yeah. You know what? With that, we're going to wrap up this episode of the Cedric Maxwell Podcast. I am Josue Pavone. He is Cedric Maxwell. Guys, you already know. Subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. You can subscribe to us there. And, of course, you can check out more of these episodes as we're going to be posting these videos more regularly, you know, throughout the course of the regular season and into the postseason, Max. I'm pumped now. Yeah, the Celtics has everyone's attention now. The Celtics has this city of Boston. All eyes are focused on the Celtics and, of course, what the Sox have been doing. But the playoffs is around the corner. It's that time. Everyone's going to be glued to the Celtics right now. So,
yeah,
I can't wait to see.
I think that it could be exciting. And, you know, it depends on who they – if they continue to progress and stay healthy, they could do some damage in some of the, I don't think they're a championship team, but I still believe that they're past the first round, maybe a second round, who knows? And it really depends on how they're playing.
Definitely. All right, everyone. We'll check you guys out next week. I'm up out of here. I am Josue Pavone. He is Cedric Maxwell. We'll talk to you next week.